What's up, Scroll Blonde Freaks and Sector 42 Alpha? Here's a test. Test. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. You see this t-shirt here I'm wearing, do ya? You like it? What does it mean, Who knows? Let's share the screen and get ready for the 5 or 6 or 0 really real people that will be visiting us. Let's share the screen. Of course, no one will be able to tell me if they can see the screen until somebody shows up. So I'll continue to be a puddle flower master. Where we left off, where I last left you, we were talking trauma monkeys. We were talking 2027. Now get into your rocket ship of imagination. Get your mind space together and imagine your own personal future. And I'm gonna close this up a little bit here. Why are you doing stuff, Dan? Well, it's getting to be that time of day. And it's probably better if we balance out the light a little bit. I don't know. Balance out the light. That's what I'm saying. Balance out the light with the darkness. What do you guys think? There's nobody here but your fed friends, Daniel. Well, I know. But let's just close that out for now. Only me and my 5 fed friends. So let's just pick up with part 2, right? Because we got all the lighting taken care of. And you know about my Y t-shirt. What does that mean, Dan? Nobody knows what stuff means anymore. There is no point. So there is a new trauma monkey. And it's related to the Texas investigation of the Islamic Tribunal. This trauma monkey involves the Texas existence of an exotic lab of super freaks and their tribunals. And they intend to put you on trial and file various charges and fatwas against you. And before you are done running from the crazy folk, share this tab instead, Dan. Should I share this tab instead? So let's see if anybody sees it. Is anybody here yet? No. It's funny, too, because I have listeners who now know that every Thursday, it is Thursday, at 3:45 p.m., I'm doing a podcast. Oh, hey, Walt Disney. Thank you. Thank you for showing up. This particular can you see the presentation, Walt? Can you see the presentation, Walty buddy? Can you see it? And can you hear me okay? Okay. So I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this. This popped up on Zero Heads the other day, and it's hard to know what to make of it. It's kind of like the story from a few years ago about the Danish orphans and the fact that the CIA was experimenting through MKUltra on these Danish orphans. Is it possible? Sure. Is there going to be resolution or punishment? Will any justice exist? No. So I don't really want to spend too much time on that. Yeah, please let me know if you can see this one too, okay? Can you see it? Did you see the flip back, or is it still black for you, Walt? I'm lucky in YouTube world. It's always black. Black, black, black. Good. Hey, thanks, Bryce. Okay, so I don't really want to talk too much about some of this stuff, but I will kind of go over it. The foldable Apple iPhone. No, not going to talk about it, but I will do this. No, I don't want to do this either. Let's see what else I want to do. No, I don't want to talk about the superconductor bullshit. Not really. The one thing I will say about the superconductor story, if you're familiar with the fusion stories that pop up periodically, you can dig into these notes yourself. If you dig deep enough, it'll tell you it takes 1.4 million times the pressure of the atmosphere to make this superconduction possible. If that sounds exotic and impossible, you would be correct. And that's what they admit in the article. It's like, it's not going to be ready. It isn't ready yet. It's always never ready. I'm going to share this tab instead, and then we'll flip back. But before we go on, can you guys see the screen again? Because it would turn black for you. Momentarily, you could see blackness because YouTube loves that. Can you see the headline, War Unicorn? Any of you? Okay. Maybe. Okay, so let's read about the War Unicorn. Okay, cool. You can see it. That's good. Headline from Zero Hedge, War Unicorn Hermias raises $350 million for unmanned supersonic fighter. This was published on the 7th of April this week. And, you know, written by Tyler Durden, right? Nom de plume. Atlanta-based aerospace startup Hermias Corp has secured $350 million in funding that values the builder of uncrewed supersonic and hypersonic fighters at north of $1 billion. Bloomberg reports that the company will use the proceeds from the latest funding round to build two more supersonic jets called Quarter Horse and to expand manufacturers. This is just... Okay, let's skip to the fun part. Why don't we skip to the fun part? Is that okay, guys? Can we skip to the fun part? But you're going to have to tell me. Did I switch back? Can you see that I switch back? Walter Bryce. I could call you Bryce Walter, Walter Bryce. Can you see that peacemaker thing, the video? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to hope that you can hear this okay. And I'm going to try to be gentle with the microphone. Let's see how this works out.
Aircraft. basically, that represents the overall scheme of things. Now, friend, you might want to go with something like this for the developed nations, namely NATO and the European markets. Headline here, tag and logo over there. Now, for the third world, or the emerging nations, you could tailor-make the campaign to look something like this. Or again, using the headline, if not for you, for them, but follow with the tag, your partner in freedom.
Which, of course, would give us the greatest flexible leverage for mixed markets.
Frank, what we're looking for is a certain emotional impact, so the average guy in the street will look at these images and say, yeah, that's something I'd like to protect, like to preserve. That's my life, and no one's going to mess with it.
I might add that research showed that 85% of those surveyed would protect these images, while 45% would actually go to war over them.
And we discarded anything that scored lower.
Right. Furthermore, the ad scored an overall 59 points, which is 3 points higher than Hertz O.J. Simpson spots or Purina's Chow Chow Chows, two very hot items.
I'm very impressed, Frank. It's soft. It's rough. We could play with it.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, I'm sure you can see that we're trying for an institutional approach here to underplay the idea that we're selling weapons of death, even though that is the business we're in.
Let's understand something before we go any further.
We sell to dictators, military hunters, generals, presidents, premiers, who don't rent automobiles, eat cat food, or get headaches. Now, what they do is buy weapons. Ostensibly, those weapons...
Those are two military helicopters you just flew over my house.
We're in a battle to sell this plane, gentlemen. And the enemy is not Moscow. The enemy is Rockwell, Northrop, Lockheed, McDonnell Douglas, Grumman, and the rest of our worthy competitors, foreign and domestic. And what you're proposing is nothing more than a public service message.
Hi, I'm Colonel Jack Stevens, and I'm here to tell you about the good folks from Fairchild who make the A-10 tank buster. It's devastating firepower, outstanding search and strike capability, and unmatched penetration make it more effective than any high-speed fighter plane. The A-10 is a multi-mission defender that can be launched from a tiny airstrip or even a highway. When you're flying close support, you need all the maneuverability and survivability you can get. So why do I fly the A-10? On account of it kills. And that's the name of that tune.
Well, that's more like it. Take that institutional stuff and put it where the sun never shines.
Okay. So, yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, but we can definitely change the screen dynamic if we want to. Hey, Dan's been lucky today. There's been no super black. And if you don't know, this is a t-shirt I sell. If you're wondering what this is, well, think about what you just saw. This little creature was crawling out of the sea 400 million years ago, maybe 300 million. And he got a little message from an angel saying, in the future, you're going to blow the fuck out of each other and people will make money doing it. And then the little creature said, why? Why, motherfucker? Anyways, got to adjust the microphone again. Why? Why, Dan? Why? Why? Yeah, why did I show that? Well, the article about the unicorn. And again, there's a lot of news right now that is so much bullshit that the propaganda theorists are putting it in your face. Hold on a second. Hey, Clara, I can kind of hear that. I know. Okay, I had to deal with an audio issue. We can continue. Sorry about that. You know, I don't own a studio. As you can see, I don't own a house. That's my dog mattress bed over there. I may have to replace it soon, for reasons I don't want to go into. That's all my clothing, riches back there, and the riches up here. That's what I own. That's right, people. We can do right. These articles about magical superconductors, fusion energy, traveling, okay, you gotta turn your brain on here, traveling to the moon, and maybe all of it's true. It's hard to say. If you believe this stuff is true, then there's nothing to worry about, right? Oil shortages, nothing to worry about. Food prices, nothing to worry about. The post-scarcity freaks will say, everything's fine, there's nothing to worry about, Dan. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen again. And read something a little bit different. It happened once. Let me know if you can see the screen or if it's turned completely black. Walt, Bryce, Scroblon, Hister 6, Drimuli, Scrublix. Hey, Ted Richardson, I'm glad you're here. Okay, Bryce, it's all good. It happened once, Heerendahl, quite a fall from the empty place. A murmur heard, a strange, scary word, once and never again. It happened once, no time was left, we are bereft from that grace. Staggering onward, fleeing space, a darkness calls and states quite loudly, once and never again. Once it was here, bullshit fears, a mind awoke, and then dead, turns red, face shift, total rift, and you hear that voice, that motherfucker, once and never again. There was ever, only one creation, attempted birth, for what it's worth, aborted on arrival, a consciousness burned, a tired soul burns, the waste heat leaves, the body heaves, and failure resides, nothingness rules the rest, the nest. And at that spot upon a cot, an old man sits with demented pride, a voice inside. Once and never again. Okay, we can deconstruct that if you want to, brothers and sisters. I'm not sure you want to. I had this thought in a podcast the other day, maybe it was yesterday, could have been a day before, and it's a really dark thought. In some ways, I'm going over the territory twice. What if it's not just that there's no multiverse? What if it's not just that reality for existential beings don't scale? What if it's not just that Stephen Hawking was wrong? What if your consciousness, my consciousness, is just the waste heat? Waste heat, the waste energy of one attempt at one creation. It happened by accident. What was before it was nothing. What comes after it is nothing. Now that's a really dark fucking thought when you think about it. There's a film called Melancholia. It came out, I think, in 2000, was it 2011, 2009? It came out a long time ago. Kirsten Dunst is in it. Full Frontal. And Kirsten Dunst plays a woman that suffers from probably manic depression, but definitely depression. And as people in the film slowly understand that things are not okay, that this planet that's supposed to safely pass the Earth isn't, she starts to light up with insights and, frankly, energy. And, you know, Lars von Trier, who was involved in this film, supposedly, this is apocryphal, that this storyline came from a conversation with his therapist, that people who suffer from depression will do better when reality is a lot worse for everyone else. And it's kind of fucked up when you think about it. I do not believe the universe is meaningless. No Christian could. But I do believe this stuff is kind of meaningless in a way. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you should get the message. And it's in other parts of the Bible that this daily life is important. God wants us, for example, to have food. God wants us to have water. God wants us to have clean air. But if you poop in the water, if you fuck up the air, if you adulterate the food, God's not going to prevent us from doing that. Okay? This reality is not a paradise. It could have been a garden. I say that so often. And maybe it could still be, huh? I don't know. But this is not paradise. The more we try to make it like paradise, the more it looks like a fucking landfill. So no, life has meaning. The world has meaning. The Lord wants us to prosper. But this was never going to be the eternal life, the physical stuff. Even in the kingdom, if all of this appears as it is, it will not be the same. And if you don't believe in God, a moment's coming in the future where even if it's not the end of the world, it could be a catastrophic shift for a lot of people. It will be difficult to manage at first psychologically, kind of like in the film Melancholia. Yes, your comment section is beautiful. And once again, hello to all the people that showed up. Thank you for showing up. I love you. Let's keep going, because why not? Why not keep going, Dan? Don't give up, Dan. Be a trooper, Dan. Don't you believe in yourself, Dan? Why don't you just take a fucking breath, Dan? Please let me know if you see the screen, or is YouTube being mean? Is YouTube, can you guys see the screen? Yeah, Walt, everyone's a crank. I think you are too. Can you see the screen? My five fed friends. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Take a deep breath. With a little grunt. Squat down to punt, the heart shunt to the street. Take a deep breath. Breathe in and out. Don't pout. Don't be a lout. Make sure you shout your favorite line, you will shine, Valentine Death. Take another breath. Take another breath and then rest. The rest will shrink like violets stink. Your halitosis shines. They don't mind. They won't say it's all okay as long as you are breathing. Open your mouth, suck that air in the thin of night, bearing fright, carrying that sight, seeing those ghosts, your heart pounds to every sound. Make sure you hit the ground when the klaxon sings. And the black clad spring with fire eye fury. Don't be in a hurry, just take a fucking breath. Blow out with vigor. Exhale your pain. Regain your center. But as you breathe, be relieved that every pant, not small or scant, brings a new chance for a trip to France, a seance journey to a ghost torrid rants, the specter speaks, at least you can breathe. Dan, you're a son of a bitch. Fuck you too. Like I said, if you're an atheist, can you answer the question why this fucker ever crawled out of the fucking sea? I can't. Seems like a stupid, stupid, stupid thing to do. But who am I to judge the creatures of the deep? I don't get to judge them. Mm-mm-mm. So who here is familiar with Bill Cooper? Anyone out there familiar with Bill Cooper at all? Just let me know in the comments section if you've ever heard of Bill Cooper. Dan, I heard of Bill Cooper. I heard he drilled a tunnel straight to hell. No, that was Johnny Cooper. So, Walt, could you tell me, do you like his book? Or anyone, if you've read the book like Walt, do you enjoy the book he wrote? Let's just take a look at it because, hey, why not? We can do anything we want to. This is a time-traveling space show, motherfucker. Let me know when you can see the screen, please. Let me know when you can see the screen. Good, good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I may have to share this tab instead. Share this tab instead. Please let me know. Children, can you see the screen? Let me know. Because I did a share tab. Can you see it, Ted, again? Behold a Pale Horse by Milton William Cooper. Okay. So, and I'm not going to read the Bible stuff. I'm actually going to... We're going to look at the table of contents. Now, if you have the book, I didn't read the whole thing. I kind of like jumped through it. The introduction forward is kind of the history of Bill Cooper stuff, and then he goes into other stuff like the silent weapons for Secret Wars. Yeah, fix that tab. Oath of Initiation, Goodbye USA, blah, 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 Anatomy of an Alliance, Lessons from Lithuania, Coup de Grace, The Secret Government. Let's stop right there. Who here believes that there is a secret government? If you want to, just let me know. And by the way, Neutral, I don't know if it's the original or not, but I have it as a PDF in the notes, so you can take a look and validate. I have never read the book. I basically looked it over yesterday as preparation for this, but I haven't read the whole thing yet. The thing is, it seems to be a grab bag of a lot of different conspiracy theories, and it may all be connected. Like, it could be that Bill Cooper, like John Nash and A Beautiful Mind, put all the strings on the board, and connected it all together. And I do intend to read the whole thing because it does look really interesting. It does look like something that I would want to read. But my question for anybody in the comment section, if you've read the book, do you believe Bill Cooper is legit or do you think he's a crackpot? Anybody can add in on this. My Fed friends usually send me a mean email about it. Get the original version. Okay, if I get the original version, Neutral, did you like it? Did you think it was legit? Or is it something that you don't think was legit? I'm interested in your opinion. From my non-Fed friends. Well, anyways, we'll wait for that. The internet doesn't really work like it used to. I I cannot tell you for certain what's happening. I watched a documentary about Bill Cooper. I have been looking at his book here and there. It looks like a grab bag of a lot of stuff. One of the conclusions that Bill Cooper comes to, though, I'm sympathetic towards. Do you no longer think it's legit neutral? Okay. So Bill Cooper suspects that the whole UFO thing, as described, the aliens coming down from planets in the universe, who knows where, at least my impression was, is he thought it was probably not the case, that it was a government operation. And I've come across stuff over the years that leads me to believe the same thing. I don't have hard evidence either way. I have no experiential evidence about UFOs. Everything I've ever seen as a former air defense officer, I can more or less make a good guess about, to include all of the private drones that fly about over here in Port Angeles. By the way, the reason why I changed my email is because I was getting hit by a lot of stalkers. And I know that that's not an ordinary problem for nice people, but for Mr. Dan, that happens a lot. So periodically, I have to change my phone number and change my email. Welcome, children. It was so much fun. I think that the UFO stuff could very well be a government op. And there are many interpretations. You know, one interpretation of the whole cattle mutilation has to do with the testing of nuclear weapons to frack for natural gas. That was Project Gas Buggy. And they couldn't tell people in the Southwest that they were using tactical nukes to frack for natural gas because of the, you know, they shared the groundwater. But what they could do is pretend aliens were abducting cattle, or not really abducting them, but performing strange surgeries to remove the thyroid. Huh, I wonder why. There are reasons to believe that that is a lot of the alien phenomena around cattle mutilation. As far as like things like crop circles and that type of physical evidence, it's plausible that the government has the technology, especially with microwaves, to basically do that sort of thing. You know, I was talking with a listener the other day about it. It's possible that's the case. It's also possible it's not the case. I couldn't tell you one way or the other. But if you suspect that the UFO thing is BS, I think it's legitimate. I'm not saying you're right, but you have a right to suspect it, just like the moon travelers. You know, maybe these people went around the moon and maybe they are returning. None of the pictures are very compelling. At this point in human history, with the technology of today, we should have a panorama of the most awesome pictures from the moon trip. But what we're seeing so far just kind of suck. And when they get back, they're going to have their hard drive. Which, given the history of NASA, somehow that hard drive will probably get damaged. But maybe the supercomputing is at the point where the three-body problem is no big deal, and they can simulate star positions, and they can give us pictures with stars that look legit. Who the F knows? If you're asking me, do I trust NASA? No. If you're asking me, do I think we live on a flat Earth? Probably not. I have no idea. But to me, the issue is, even if this is a sphere, that doesn't mean we live in the universe we're told we live in. All we know is we live on a sphere. That doesn't tell us very much. And beyond it, we're told about outer space. Well, who knows where outer space is, folks? You know where outer space is? Maybe it's right here. Maybe outer space is in our head. It's chasing us like Monster Zed. It's filled with coke because it went broke. And now outer space is on the hunt. And it called your mama, I can't say. But outer space is out there anyway, and it's coming for you and it's coming for me. And the only thing holding it back is atmospheric pressure from the gravity. Now, that's another thing too. So we're told that the Earth is spinning really fast. We're told that the Earth is traveling around the sun really fast. We're told the gravity holds the atmosphere down. But folks, have you ever worked with vacuums? I mean, vacuums are immensely strong. So even with all the gravity and everything else, one wonders, how is it we keep our atmosphere? We're moving so fast. And when I think about it, to tell you the truth, it doesn't feel like we're moving at all. Not really. Now, does that prove anything? No. It'd be like saying, well, Dan, what if they're tiny? I'm going to stop you right there. There are no tiny Eskimos living on electrons. Let's just get this out of the way. There are no tiny Eskimos living on electrons. There are no tiny Eskimos looking at their thumb, looking at an electron, seeing an Eskimo, looking at its thumb. There's no tiny Eskimo living on an electron. So don't tell me that story. I'll punch you in the face. It's so clever. I learned it from a freshman. I know you did, freshman. I know you did at the University of Up the Butt, and I don't really care. I just don't care. So we've gotten to the part of the program where if you're interested, if you're really interested, and I'm going to bring up some technology to help us with this. I'll probably type a little because of Scroblon technology. But if you're interested, you can call in. Some of you have the number. Some of you don't know how to read. Dan, you're a shithead. I know I am. I'm the kind of person that you need right now because I'm the kind of person, yeah, just like LL Cool J. I will sneak in through the back door. That's all you need. That's all you need to know. All you need to know. Let's do it. Let's do it for Johnny. We're doing it for Johnny, Dan. I know we are. I'm doing it for Johnny Cakes. So this is the part of the program where if you like to, like, I don't know, call in, you can. Okay. Please, please, please let me know when you can see the screen. Please let me know. Can any of you see the screen? Oh, I will sweep the leg on space, dude. I'll destroy space, but the way to destroy space is with fists of power. Okay, so for any of you brave ones out there, you don't have to identify yourself. You don't have to say who you are, but if you want to call in and enjoy the excitement of calling in and being part of the program, you can. You don't have to. No one's gonna make you do shit. Not really. Call in. You can talk about problems. You can talk about issues. You can say, Dan, you're a paranoid fuck. You think everybody's... Okay, let's stop right there. I don't think everybody's a Fed. If you want to accuse me of paranoia, that's fair. I'm not in a great place right now. Some of the listeners will take my comments personally, but then they really need to deconstruct that fucking shit. It implies a certain limited cardinality that anybody listening to any podcast would ever take anything personally. It almost implies logically that I'm in a box. So when people send me a message saying, like, for example, I had a listener for many years, and then one day he said, Dan, the only reason why I listen to you is because you're so pathetic. You're so sad. I feel so... Stop right there. If you listen to me because you think I'm pathetic and sad, stop. I mean, you can keep doing it, but you don't need to email me about it. And if you do, I'll block your email. You can still listen, of course. I just don't have to listen to your bullshit. Is that fair? And of course, I'm talking to my Fed friends here. You can call in anytime. Call on in, people. Give me a phone call. If you're a Fed, call me. We can talk. We can talk about your problems. I don't care. Even Pete Hegseth could call in. I could counsel him. I could provide comfort. I could give him a hug you space hug so he could feel better about himself. I don't fucking care. That latest Lego video that they did, though, in Iran about Keg's breath, pretty fucking good. As propaganda goes, the Iranians are kicking ass. I mean, I gotta say, this Lego shit is just way beyond, you know, the CIA nonsense. On the other hand, let's get real. This looks like a trauma monkey. So the Lego shit could very well be coming out of Langley. Oh, did I shock you, Puddle Flower? We've got a caller, I hope. A special friend calling in. A friend to the bitter end. Hello?
Dan.
What's up?
Seth. Hey, man. Calling in.
Cool.
Hey, so I got a question. I guess Mr. J.D. Vance is going over to Pakistan. What do you think of that guy, Mr. J.D. Vance? What's he going to even be able to do?
I don't really know. I mean, okay, so when the Butler, Pennsylvania thing happened, and I think that was before the convention, I didn't know who J.D. Vance was. I didn't know about his Hillbilly Elegy great book. I didn't watch the Netflix series. I don't know if he's a legit person or not. He has officially changed his name several times. So on a certain level, he doesn't really look like a person I can trust. Does that make sense so far?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The other thing, too, I don't know how old you are, but I was 21 years old during Gulf War I, and we had, what's his name? I always forget his name. He was doing the shuttle diplomacy, going back and forth to Baghdad and Washington, D.C., and we did everything we could to prevent the war, which was total bullshit. These operations, in a lot of ways, are designed to provide cover to some extent so that if the war continues, Trump can say, well, gee, shit, I sent J.D. Trance over there, and he tried his best.
All right. I think that answers my question. Yeah, I agree. I don't trust him. Came out of nowhere. I'm always surprised how these politicians can just be elevated to where they are, and they have no one knows who they are.
Do we really know who Trump is?
No.
I'm serious.
No, like, I don't know if he knows who he is. He just likes the approval of other people so much.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has real convictions.
But what if there's nothing there? I mean, what if he's not an actual person the way that you and I hopefully you are, and hopefully I am from your perspective, but what if he's not a real person? What if he's a completely manufactured entity?
I could see it. I mean, he's very commercial, which I think a lot of people are. But yeah.
Well, okay.
They seem to like those types of people, like Kamala and all of them. But anyways, thanks for taking my question.
Is that all you wanted to call about?
Well, I also wanted to know if you what kind of music you were listening to these days?
I still listen to like a mix of oldies and sometimes new songs, but to be honest, in the last 10 years, I've been mostly looking towards older music. Like, I have a music list out there that's available from YouTube, and it's my Grinken time list, which it's a special set of songs. But I kind of just listen to a lot of eclectic stuff, which means a lot of different kinds of stuff, and it's a lot of it's older. You know, I like Brazilian samba jazz. Do you know who Astrud Gilberto was?
No, I don't.
Do you know the song "The Girl from Ipanema"?
I don't think so.
Okay, well it's okay. I mean, you're probably a younger guy, so it's quite easy. It's entirely plausible you've never heard it, but it's one of those songs that it's kind of iconic as far as like the 60s goes, especially if you're into jazz. That being said, a little bit of everything. Any other questions?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. But you're not a Fed, Ted. Even though you're calling from Virginia, you're not a Fed. Not a Fed. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. Okay. Well, I'll let you go.
All right, man. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Okay. Well, that was nice. Remember, you can call in. You can call in if you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can call in. Dan, what kind of a son of a bitch are you? You have no idea what kind of a son of a bitch I am. Yeah, you can call in if you want to. You don't have to, my friends. You don't have to. You can just call in. Dan, I have a question about my stool sample. Do you need a colon check friend? A colo check friend? Available from Seaflow for pennies a day. You take a sample, you send it to Ecuador. A local shaman takes a look. Is it brown and pasty? Is it green and wasty? Is it a little bloody? Can they find the cutty? April Glaspy, the U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, 1990, primary official associated. Okay, yeah, well. I'm telling you, early 91, there was a shuttle diplomacy going on, and I just do not want to talk about it, but it was all bullshit. His last name started with a B. I always forget his name. He was one of these stately figures that everybody thought was just the best guy in the world, and he was a deep state robot, but let's not worry about that, because 1991's in the rearview mirror. Just as 2019 is... and 2025. So you can still call in just like Ted did. Believe you me, I'm glad he did. I know he's not a Fed. I know he's a good guy. He's got to be. Because I feel the love touch of all my listeners. A little tingle. Then the liquids mingle. James Baker, that's it. Yeah, Ron, thank you. James Baker. Shuttle diplomacy. We're gonna get in the space shuttle and meet up with Saddam in low Earth orbit and fix the peace thing. Yeah, James Baker sells buckets of food. Yeah. If you want to call in and talk or chat, you can. I have no doubt in recent days I pissed off some of my listeners, and I don't care. If you're a legit person, an adult, you can take it. It's like I was talking to my friend today. I believe he's actually my friend, and he's a listener. And I said, would it piss you off if I thought you were fake? And he said no, because he knows that he's real. And he's been listening since 2019. So if you're a listener out there, and you think I'm picking on you because I'm dealing with a stalker situation, I'm dealing with emails every fucking day, like demons whispering in my fucking ear, and even when I tell Google to delete, it doesn't. That's why I had to cancel the Gmail. If you're bothered by that, I'm sorry, but I'm also not fucking sorry. Okay? You can call in. You can tell me I'm an asshole. Tell the truth. If you're a Fed, tell the truth. If you're pissed off that I think you're a faker, tell the truth. But just tell the fucking truth. And guess what? The longer we talk, the more we learn about each other. Yeah. And I could be crazy. If you were to give me a basic choice between Dan is crazy, but everything's going to be okay, which means the world is just going to move along, no big problems. We're going to have all the tech. Here come the helicopters again. A couple of UH-60s. Are they getting ready to do something? Separate topic, tangent. If you wake up one day or during the night and you see a bunch of helicopters of different types, meaning a heterogeneous fleet, not homogeneous, but a heterogeneous fleet of helicopters heading in the same direction, you might want to be concerned, especially if they're heading towards the water. They're probably heading towards a submarine. Did George Carlin tell you? You don't get a seat at that table. You don't get your own special stable. They're not going to put you in a room or a berth. You don't have the worth. You're garbage just like me. And if the chipper is about to be turned on, they're going to want you standing there wearing your favorite thong and then grind, grind, grind until it's all gone. But you and I don't get on the helicopter. You and I don't get to travel in the submarine. You and I don't get to go to Antarctica. And, spoiler alert, you should be fucking lucky. If you're an atheist, you should be count yourself lucky, because in my opinion, that place will become a hellhole in 10 years. If you're a Christian, you should count yourself lucky, because if I'm right, that is basically the most concentrated fucking evil on the planet right now. Does that mean everything's A-okay? Folks, if you're not aware yet, the petrodollar is dead. Does that mean that the dollar is going to be debased to the point of zero? Who the fuck knows? Do you think there are sane people in charge? There's a couple different ways you can default. You can have a controlled default or an uncontrolled default. A controlled default is a lot like what the first Bush president did in the early 90s, and that is bail out Latin America. An uncontrolled default is what happened in Weimar, what happens in, you know, places around the world where they start just printing money. I think we're looking at an uncontrolled default masquerading as people in control, which means not only is it going to be discontinuous and crazy and random and nonlinear, but you can guarantee the people at here will do everything they can to convince you it's not happening. Like I said, the stocks will probably have a really good green day, multiple green days, long after there's no food at the grocery store. Yeah. Don't you want to call in, be famous? Like Amos, sell cookies, get nookie, your woman will love you. And if you're a Fed, you can gaslight me. This is free gaslighting time. I got so many Fed friends. Call in. Or don't. The really good reason for not calling in if you're a Fed is because I am collecting data, and this is the data that's the most interesting. The stalker emails, that can be auto-generated, and you can pay people overseas to do shit like that. But it's different when you're talking to a person, and I don't mean an AI. I can detect that shit a mile away. I mean a person. And you start having a conversation like about, well, where they live and what they do for a living. And if they can't keep track of it, that's interesting too. I knew of an account on Twitter once. The year was 2014. The account's children were between the ages of, I think, 4, maybe 5, 6, and 10. And when I reconnected with this particular account 10 years later, the ages were like 4, not 6, and 10. And again, if you confront the account and say, how is it that your children don't age, all you get is blocked, okay? You get blocked, okay? You don't get a conversation. You don't get an explanation. You get blocked. There's a lot of fakers out there, folks. In the age of Bo Blimpdoc, almost everything's a fucking grift. Hey, Ron, I might just be in a simulation. Well, whatever. You keep going, Ron, because I love you. I love you. Anyways, if no one wants to call in and get pissed off at me, why? Right? Why? Should that ancient salamander have crawled out of the sea? Why? What did it find when it got on land? What was the first thing that that first amphibian fucking found on dry land? An HOA. A real estate agent. That first salamander met a banker, got pre-approved to buy a tiny hole. When the first salamander crawled out of the sea, Lucifer was waiting for you and me. And there was an HOA ready to go. And the first question of consciousness for that happy fucking salamander is why? Or once and never again, right? Call in. Call in before it's too late. Call in before your Thursday date. Call in before your wife says, "Get a life, pal, and stop listening to that crazy old fat man." Well, it's getting to be an hour into this podcast, and I would love to continue. But unless we have a caller, I'm probably not. I'll give it another minute, but whatever. I can't talk much about this, but there was somebody connected to the academic world where I work that passed recently. That's as much as I can say. And the Lord knows the name of the person. And it can be hard, even when you get older, to confront the fact that everybody dies. But what can be really tragic is when a young person dies. And you're left with a question mark. Why? Why? Why crawl out of the sea? Why wake up in the morning? Why play pretend? It's a fair question. Why? And I, for one, don't have a good or fair answer. I cannot tell you why sometimes the innocent and the young die when the evil of the world parade about like Pete Hegseth or Donald Trump or Netanyahu. Why do they get away with murder when the powerless, the poor, the starving and the sick, they simply die? And if Jesus was here right now speaking, and I know he's here, but I am speaking, and one hopes that the words that comes out of your mouth as a disciple are the Lord's words, but I can't be sure of that right now. But I think if Jesus could speak right now, he would say, "Dan, you really don't get it. You kind of get it and you don't. You have this concept of the amphibian crawling out of the sea and asking why. And you talk about the idea that the devil offered the Lord, the Son of God, all the dirt on earth. And you still don't get it, Dan, because you ask why. The reality is, this physical place can be beautiful. It can be not magical, but incredibly interesting. We can have adventures in this life. We can go to lots of places. We can travel about it and see and meet people. And in a lifetime, we can gather forth experiences that can fill books and volumes that never get published, because for most people, this is enough. And if in all that, sometimes young people die, that's going to happen. And in all that, sometimes rich, old, evil people die in their sleep, and that's going to happen. But I would say, all in all, even with all of that, we should still be grateful for what we have and for the world we have. And if a person comes into our life and only briefly they are there, we should be grateful that they were there. So before we close things out, I'd like to say a prayer. Lord in heaven, we often take for granted the gifts you give us. The food, the water, the shelter that we take for granted because we feel we deserve it. That by being born, we should be provided for. But as Christians, we should know better. Sometimes there are people in our lives that are just here a short while. Kind of like Boomer the dog from Utah. I only knew him a couple years and then he died after I left. And yet at the same time, those brief moments were important. And to you, Lord, we should be thankful. For all of your gifts and for this life and for the lives and experience of being around others who you did lovingly send to this world, we should be thankful. In your name we serve, Jesus Christ, amen. You guys go out there and have a great rest of your Thursday.